Pray with me. Father, I thank you for being given this privilege to tell how you've worked in my life. Be with me as I make the presentation. Be with those that are here in attendance. Pray this in your son's name. As Kevin said, it's not about me. It's about what God has given me the opportunity to do and what I've allowed God to do in my life. Not always one and the same thing. Seems like too much of the time that, kind of like Jonah, I want to do something else. Start fairly young. My mother and father had three children. I have a brother that is 6 years and 11 months older than I am. I had a sister that was a year and 9 days younger. And with her death, I think that that's where our involvement in church began the most. We were members of the Evangelical United Brethren Church. They merged with the United Methodist Church, so it became the Evangelical United Methodist Church in my hometown. It's now just known as Emmanuel. Church is still there. Build a new facility, have a big attendance. In my life, of course, I wasn't here in Hayes all the time, so when we were in Virginia, we attended the Ocean View Church of Christ there. Interesting church individual that I was involved with there, or Jen and I got to know there. And I'll make a comment down the line here as to that involvement. There was a gradual, when I started attending, gradual education on fairly daily basis. I can remember one of the things that I said to our minister who was leading Wednesday night meetings that, it was like, okay, you need to pray, and I made the comment to him, what I have a problem with is the way people pray. I don't talk about thee and thou. I'm not King James. Of course, I didn't understand that it was King James at the time, and he gave me a good answer. He said, your conversation needs to be that. How you talk to your parents, that's the conversation you need to have with your Maker. I went on probably around the age of 7 or 8, 9, somewhere in there. I began singing duets with his daughter, the minister's daughter. I can't remember all of them. I know that we sang How Great Thou Art, and I can remember, when seeing Cameron up here when she was doing actions, that the attraction of young, that must have been what the attraction was. I don't know that I was that good a singer, but I was up front singing and had people commenting all the time. Anyway, approximately at the same time, I was baptized by the water out of the bowl on the head, and now I'm a part of the church. I'm Christian. Then I moved into high school years, and of course, even in the 7th and 8th grade year, athletics as a male, there weren't that much athletics for women at that time, but if you were a male, you had to be involved in athletics, and I was. I carried that on through in my college years, too. But I also became a member of Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Our oldest son is the campus rep at Cali College for Fellowship of Christian. So that's been around for quite a while. I did attend the National Conference for FCA in Estes Park, Colorado in 1964. And it was there that two people probably influenced some of my thoughts, how you always have this professional athlete, and boy, is he, you know. And then when he tells you that God's a big influence in his life. I got to see, in fact, I sat on the table for Paul Anderson, the world's strongest man at the time. And there were 10 of us sitting on the top of this table that was constructed solidly enough that he could get under it. And I remember that they added our weights up, and it was over 1,500 pounds. And he stood up with that table on his back. And he said, God's given me this physical ability. Another individual there was Bob Pettit. Maybe you remember him from pro basketball if you're old enough. There's probably some of you here that don't remember that. Not the only reference that we have. I asked Jen sometime about a professional athlete that she kind of turned down. I was involved in high school in what we had as a county youth organization. So the youth groups at each church would once a quarter have a representative meet together. And the purpose of this was that in Dickinson County, we put on the Easter pageant every Sunday. And this was an hour and a half production. And it was out in a park that had props built for the upper room, had the tomb built, had the crosses on a hill. My senior year, I got to play the part of Peter. And, you know, being the track athlete, I had to let John win getting to the tomb first. But, you know, when I got there, I went right on in. After high school graduation, as part of that youth group, I was vice president there. The president was one of my best friends, and he and I decided that, you know, there's a lot of different congregations here that are involved in this. And we wanted to see why there were so many different congregations. And so in Dickinson County, there's Solomon, there's Harrington, there's Abilene, there's Chapman, and a few other small ones. But those four main towns, we decided we wanted to visit the churches. And, of course, there's Methodists were dominant, Presbyterians were dominant, and there were various other ones. And, you know, after we got done visiting those churches, he and I looked at each other and we said, you know, I find more difference from a Methodist church in this town to this town than I do from the Methodist church to the Presbyterian church in the same town. In other words, the community kind of molded the thoughts in that community more than, at least at that time. After graduation, I attended Forte State University, of course. Had the opportunity to run for Alex Francis here, probably gave me some of my best challenges. I can still remember him when he was out, when we were out on a cross-country course. And occasionally he'd be by, And when he was standing there, his words of encouragement were, beat somebody. There's an opponent right there. Beat him. You know, never take first, never, you know. And then there was a time that he said, I have something to tell you, and this will apply to life as well. He said, if it ever gets to be a job, a task, something you despise doing, get out. Now, listen to me because I have something else to say to you. He said, when I said get out, I didn't say permanently. If it takes a minute to be out of it, 5 minutes, a day, a week, come back stronger than you were before. I thought it was good advice. somewhere my senior year, I became involved with off-campus group of Bible study, mainly individuals that attended here, as well as Campus Crusade, InterVarsity, and it was at that time that I met Jen. Jen and I sang duets together. I can remember a time we performed at, for Bill Miller's group at United Methodist Church. As I told you earlier, I was baptized in my home church, and at that time, in 1970, Ward Patterson was a part of this group, and he was working with the youth group here, and the church college students that met. Jen and I both had the same problem that, you know, if the baptism we had as kids wasn't good, then I had a problem with everybody I knew that hadn't been baptized by immersion. And an individual talked to us and had said, "I don't disagree with you, but what I say is Jesus gave the example of baptism by immersion. I want to do things as he did." And so in May of 70, we had a meeting of the youth out at Cedar Bluff Christian Service Camp, and both Jen and I were baptized by immersion there. Jen and I were then married in 71 in this facility. I think probably some of you were here. It was in March, so you wouldn't think of it as being a warm day, but I will say that you know, when you light the candles, and we each took a candle, and she sang a song to me, and I sang a song to her, and she started laughing at me. She said, "I didn't know," afterwards, she said, "I didn't know you were sweating so much," because sweat was running, and it was coming real close to the candle as I was holding the candle trying to sing to her. Didn't put the candle out. We ended up lighting the unity candle afterwards, but then, of course, after we were married, she's been a major factor in my life. She's made presentations here, so you can be the judge of the knowledge of what she has been and the knowledge that she has helped me with. Military duty came out, you know, and this is one of those things that I say I've never won anything in my life. At that time, they had a draft lottery. And, well, I didn't take first, but I was 10th out of 365. And I figured that, you know, if I get draw number 10, that probably means that the U.S. Army is looking for me. And so I decided it was my senior year that I would look at options. And my first option, I had taken photography in college, and so I really liked photography. And the Air National Guard out of Topeka, I liked flying also, was a photo reconnaissance. I thought, I qualified as a pilot. This would be nice, but, you know, better hadn't rest just on that because they didn't have any openings. And Naval Reserve, well, my dad served in Naval Reserve, and they called up and said, "If you come down this weekend, we can get you in." So I enlisted in the Navy first part of May of 1971, and it was 1970. And Monday morning, after I had enlisted on Saturday and Sunday, Air National Guard in Topeka called and said, "We've got a position open for you if you want to come down." Needless to say, I have already been committed. So, but anyway, while I was in the military, Jen and I, like I said, we enjoyed performing, trying to influence with song. And so we talked with InterVarsity, with Campus Crusade, can we do things on weekend? And we were flat turned down because Well, you have to be wholly supported missionary to be on our staff. Whether that was the right, I mean, maybe we didn't ask the right person, but that was the answer we got. So, you know, we continued our work in the church there. Well, I guess that's down here a little bit later. On ship, we had a priest assigned to the ship, so he was the minister for that ship. And I knew that there were individuals on there that were not of the Catholic background. And individual good friend of mine from Mobile, Alabama, I looked at him and I said, how about if we try to have Protestant services? And so we organized it. The captain of the ship actually came to our services. So, you know, we had a half-size keyboard, and I could do a melody pretty good. So we played some hymns, and we sang some, and we used some scripture, and we prayed, and, you know, we were in Vietnam. We tried to make the best of it. I think Joe carried that on. He was on 2 years after I got off, so I think he carried that on for us. The next thing, the church that we were involved there with, we started, Joe's fiance at the time, his father, was a Southern Baptist minister, and so he's, you know, when we're looking at churches, he said, how about Southern Baptist Church here? And we went, and the first Sunday there, we walked in the door, and we were met with, are you a visitor or a member? And they stuck a label on you. And Jen and I kind of looked at each other and said, if you don't know if we're a visitor or a member, I think maybe you're a little too large for us. And we ended up at the Ocean View Church of Christ, which was probably a little larger than this. But the minister at the time challenged the group to, we need to continue growing. We need to get people here. We can't teach if they're not here. It happened to be after we left, but it made Paul Harvey, because his challenge was, if you have an attendance of 200 or greater, the next Sunday I will preach from the roof. Now, there's a caveat to that. If I'm preaching from the roof, you ain't sitting in your vehicles. You may be sitting on your vehicles, but you're going to be out where you can hear. And like I said, it made Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey, they attained the 200. And so he was, now he picked on his wife, and his wife was shorter than Jen, and he was Sharon. And she happened to be from North Carolina, and any time he introduced you to her, he'd say, this is my wife, Sharon. And he'd say, and she's from North Carolina. Will you say, how nab brown cow for him? We had a Bible study in our home at the same time, and many individuals, some from that congregation, but many from the ship had attended. Minister and his wife attended with us. I can remember a night that there was, well, I don't think that we thought we were Noah, but water came down. And the apartment complex we lived in was built up because it was right next to an inlet. And when the individuals started to leave, Steve and Sharon started to leave, their vehicle started floating a little bit. In fact, the Bible started floating off the seat. And we were trying to push them out to where it was dry ground. Well, the next thing we know, the fire department's coming in and taking people out. It rained that much and the inlet came up, but watching the Bible float on the seat over to Madison. When we came, another individual there, the beautiful singer, and has a connection with Joe's wife then at that time. And like I said, her father was a Southern Baptist minister, and she had told us that where she was from, blacks weren't allowed in church. And one of the individuals she got to like the best was Bryce. And guess what? His skin wasn't the same color as ours. And when we confronted her about it one time, her comment was, "When I look at a man, I look in his eyes. And his eyes don't give me that." Back in Hayes, and one of the attractions for being back here was the teaching that we had, whether it was Sam Hamilton, who was here when we left and came back and was, I think, two chapters ahead of when we left 2 years ago. Steve Culver, Steve Trammell, who's still here, John and Paula, follow along with Kevin's teaching, you know, utilizing Greek, teaching us how to grow in the Bible. When it came back in 73, of course, Dane was born, and then Brett was born in 74. They were both raised here. They both attended Sunday school here, Vacation Bible School here. Briefly, I was employed after I got out of the military by Graves Truck Line A&R Freight System, Developmental Services of Northwest Kansas. That was a 40-year period there, so that went by. What I have had the opportunity to work in after getting back out of the military and serving as the lay pastor there, I've been the lay representative from this congregation to Cedar Bluff Christian Service Camp. I served as director, which is now the president, changed titles, but from 81 through 86, I was a rep until 2003. When I took over as director of Cedar Bluff, we had 4 weeks of camp. I kind of thought that it was an unusual time to have camp because they chose the last 2 weeks in July and the first 2 weeks in August to have camp. And that kind of breaks up the summer, and shouldn't we have camps where they... So anyway, one of the first things we did was we moved to the 4 weeks of June, and then I was able to convince the board to add First Chance Camp, Beginners Camp, Boondocker Camp, Senior High Backpacking Tramp to Colorado. We added a men's retreat. We tried a women's retreat, couldn't compete with King Solomon. Had a family camp. I can remember a time at family camp that one of Jen's students was out there from here. And the camp just to the west of us, there were three deer walking across, and she asked Jen if she would go catch the fawn. Like, yeah, right. You don't know nature, do you? As far as camp goes, I was actually one of the ones involved, along with Wes Yorkstead of Plainville, to purchase the new facilities known as Lakeview Christian Camp. What we had a problem with was the lease that we had at Lakeview, or at Cedar Bluff Christian Service Camp, was with the federal government, and it was due to expire in 2017. And they had said, we'll extend the same as we have with the state for another 10 years. But written into the agreement was, when that time happened, you will destroy everything that you built on this land and turn it back to the way it was. And it was like, when you're living under dictatorship like that, if we have the opportunity to purchase land and put buildings up, well, it came about that there was a camp already built, Pacusa, that we bought. And I believe that it's paid for now, isn't it? Yeah. And so we're investing, just like if we would build here, we're investing in something that we have. I served on Hayes Christian Church board for a number of years. One of the other things that I have liked is I've liked words, what other people have written. I will close with one that I have heard, but the one I would like to share with you now is when Dane and Alicia got married in April of 2008, one of the songs they chose was God Bless the Broken Road That Led Me Straight to You. I don't know if you know those words, but they speak to me. There is a broken road. You know, you want to follow, but, you know, so many times the ego comes into it, the self gets entered, and you're very off path. It's happened, you know. Sin, yes, there's been sin in life at various times. I like to think of sin as being, we live in a blame-shifting culture where we tend to evade the responsibility of our actions and point a finger at everyone else, especially society, our early childhood trauma, for our behavior. Fault and sin have been removed from our vocabulary. It's not my fault. We need to accept the fact that it is us. God gave us the gray matter to think. God gave us the opportunity. He didn't dictate to us that we will be Christians. The best explanation for sin, we're preoccupied with ourselves, doing things the way we want rather than the way God wants. There's a popular Christian movement right now. It's called I Am Second. There was a movie out on individuals, another tie-in with professional athletes. If you remember the name Brian Piccolo, he was a backup running back for the Chicago Bears. He was backing up Gale Sayers, who was the Kansas Comet, went to play for Chicago. Anyway, at the age of 26 in 1970, he died of cancer. But he wrote a book. He had enough time that he wrote a book that's I Am Third. God first, others second, myself last. The popular movement right now is I Am Second. I think that they probably are trying to focus on putting God first. I like Brian's attitude of putting others in the second spot. About a year ago at this time, I was on the roof of our shed trying to get some shingling ready to go. And I, all of a sudden, eyes were a problem. And I, you know, Jen asked me what I said. I'm dizzy. I'm, you know. And she said, get down. And I said, I can't see. And I said, you're going to have to guide me down. Well, ultimately, I did make it down to the scaffolding and then down to the ground. And her comment to me was that I've never seen you drunk, but I've never seen anybody walk as bad as you did going to the house. Diagnosis ended up being Graves' disease or thyroid eye disease. I don't know what the measurements were, but when I finally saw the doctor, he measured it at 20. 6 hours later, it was at 4. The next morning, it was at 2. And his comment was, I don't understand. I haven't done anything. Well, there was a lot of prayer from here. Now, this individual has helped me a lot. He's an individual I refer to, and in fact, the hospital there refers to him as Dr. Red Duke. A comedian. I don't know if some of you are old enough to remember when he was on TV, but he was a doctor comedian, and that's who this individual reminds me of. I said I liked readings. In fact, many times when I was presider here, I would, in place of scripture, I would share a reading with you. And so I would like to close this morning with something that I think you're all familiar with. It happens to be the love chapter of Corinthians, but it is in a version that I've never heard before. 40 days we've just finished with, and one of those things was phrasing, and that's what I've always tried to do. So when I'm reading through this, I'm hoping that I can share in phrases with you what this author said and what I'm interpreting. So from Corinthians, though I go forth in the glamour of public eye, and I sway people by my vast knowledge of Scripture, in Christian education. And then I go home and gripe because my family does not say how high when I say jump. I'm just a big noise. Though I can delve into the mysteries, secrets of truths of God, and have such faith that I earn myself a reputation as a remover of mountains, and do not even try to understand the frustration and loneliness of my dear ones, fellow teachers, or try to remove the mountains of misunderstanding between us, I'm a great big zero. And though I'm renowned as a giver to missions, even offered to go myself, now that doesn't apply, I haven't offered to go, and shut myself off from my children right in the class when they need some of my time and understanding through the week, I'm a great big loser. Love lasts and lasts. When there's nothing any longer to feed it, it stays on fire. When no one around to stoke the furnace, is patience with patience that defies all onsets of criticism, indifference, lack of appreciation, and is kind. Love never longs after or begrudges the excellence or good fortune of other teachers, does not boast or become unduly elated over its own attainments, makes no parade, gives itself no airs. It's not rude or unmannerly, forgetting to put other person's feelings first, does not blow a gasket every time it's provoked. Love does not fight for its rights or its own way, either by shouting or speaking in low measured tones or lining up allies for a battle for non-self-seeking. Love is not touchy, fretful, sniping, complaining, or resentful. It takes no account of evil done it, or keeps it alive, boring everyone stiff with repeated accounts of it. Love does not smack its lips over scandal or backsliding of others, even under the guise of talking about it so that we can pray more intelligently, but rejoices when right and truth prevail by saying, "Well, I'm glad she finally straightened down. It's about time." Love bears up under shortage of materials, inconvenience in the classroom, flat singers without bellowing about it, loud and clear for all who are within hearing, is ever ready to believe the best about everyone, is incurable optimistic under all circumstances, looking on the bright side, knowing God is still in heaven and perfectly capable, no matter how things look. Love never fails, never fades out, becomes old-fashioned, never comes to an end. When the total, complete, and perfect truth comes, God has promised that it will, all the incomplete and imperfect will vanish away. But one thing will not vanish away. Love. It's here to stay. Thank you.
You've been listening to Testimony Sunday at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.